Hallo, vi er tilbake. Hei, hei venner. André har akkurat prøvd å være, si hvor snillig han og så innrømte i samme setning at han en fucker som alle andre.
Ok, det fredag da, Jona. Vi har begynt å lage podcast veldig sent i uka.
Ja, det sikkert en bra ting for oss. Det betyr at vi busy.
Ja, det jo bare det der. Men, ja. Men jeg lurer på om kanskje det bra også, for da kan folk gå inn i helgen med Støm og Gjermann på øret. Da, vet du. Hvis ja. Du sitter på toget for eksempel på vei ut av byen nå,
Nå skal du ned på Sørlandet og nyte disse ville sommerdagene som kommer.
Og da får du de to kjekkeste gutta i byen rett inn i øret ditt.
Nettopp, det her må jo være helt fantastisk. Det må bli når man har en podcast som du ikke får noe tilbake. Vi jo komikere, så vi får jo feedback når vi står på scenen. Vi vant til det, og hvis den dårlig, så vet vi det med en gang. Nå sitter vi bare og prater ut i eteren. Og later som at vi jævla fette.
Ja, men det litt hyggelig, tenkte jeg skulle si det. Vi får litt meldinger i inboxen vår på den fantastiske Instagram-kontoen vår, faktisk. Ja. Så kommer det noen hyggelige meldinger inn med dem, vi setter pris på det vi.
Det er veldig hyggelig. Er
hvis du ikke får svar, så er det bare fordi vi litt treige med å gå inn der og sjekke og sånn.
Ja,
og særlig på den Facebook-siden vår, der er vi veldig sløve.
Hvis det litt tregt, så er det fordi det sosiale medier, og vi to gamle menn.
Ja. Og det, så da skal du ikke, bare du får svar til slutt, bare vent, hold ut. Ikke bli forbanna.
Nei, ikke bli forbanna, og jeg tipper at du ikke
får svar. Jeg tipper at du ikke får svar.
Ikke får svar, eller er så jævla opptatt av det.
Nei, men vi jo glad for alle som hører på. Men, men fredag, ja, fordi at det ble vel sånn forrige uke også, at vi lagde en sånn sent i uka. Det, ja. Men neste uke må vi lage en Nei, i neste uke så lager vi rett og slett en med fuglelyder og
Ja, for det det vi håper på, at du kommer med det geniale forslaget. Vi trenger jo ikke Vi komikere, vi trenger ikke dra i helgen til Sandefjord. Nei, nei, nei. Midt i uka, vi. Så det planen, og så ta en liten båtvisitt.
Den tar vi en båtvisitt på hytta, og så fikk jeg akkurat vite at den gamle mora mi skal på noen sånn rehabilitering. Akkurat den onsdagen så drar
nice!
Hun.
Nice!
Så da vi alene, Jona.
Yes, da vi alene.
Blir det horer og kokain.
Da blir det horer og kok. Bare ring slottet, så ordner de alt. Så de har jo alt. De har jo både horer og kok der oppe.
De har det. Vi to lager heller en... Vi lager heller en, hva heter det?
On the road podcast.
Ja, hva heter de der? Det var irriterende at jeg ikke kom på det nå. Jeg drikker jo aldri det selv. Men det som alle drikker nå på sommeren, så lager jeg en sånn oransje drink.
Ja, den der, ja. Oransje. Den som er på... Den som har vært litt for lenge på Instagram-bildene til folk.
Ja. Så irriterende at jeg ikke husker det hadde vært en...
Noe appelsinopplegg.
Ja, det noe sånn. Hva heter det? Det kan dere sende innboksen til mora di.
Send innboksen til mora di, og så finner vi ut av det.
Hva tenkte jeg på? Så er jo, det jo Pride.
Ja, det Pride. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride, og PST som vanlig kom med unnskyldning et år etter noe skjer.
Det var flaut. Jeg skjønte at de hadde fucket opp litt, grann, og så men så det så gjerne mye artikler om det, og så det, skal du liksom, så begynner du å lese en, og så kommer det en annen, og så det litt tung materie da. Så det jævlig digg å lese de der kommentarene fra journalistene, når de skriver kommentarer i egen avis. Da skjønner du liksom, oi, det her var skikkelig fucked up det her.
Ja, de har drittet seg helt ut, og nå de ute og beklager, og folk maser på at Emilie Mehl skal beklage.
Hun beklager jo ikke, jeg stiller meg bak den beklagelsen.
Ja, hun jo alltid sent på ballen. Nå er det jo sånn, nå roper de om at hun må gå og sånn.
Ja.
Og det jo litt sånn, man begynner jo å lure litt, hun ikke helt med, liksom?
Jeg føler at det sånn at når hun får kritikk, så jeg sånn, jeg skal ikke være en gammel mann som kritiserer henne fordi hun dritteilig. Og så blir det bare sånn, jo mer kritikk hun får, så bare, hun veldig pen da. Ja, det derfor hun har jobbet fortsatt? Så blir jeg sånn fordomsfull og dust fra 80-tallet.
Jeg tenker, man må jo ikke tenke på det, man må bare tenke på at hun justisminister, og kan ikke hver gang si jeg vil ikke uttale meg. Og hvem må vente 14 dager før hun får ut fingeren?
Jeg tror hun... Jeg så jo den sesongen hun var med på det der Lauritsen-showet, og da blir man jo sånn, oh my god, hun jo alt for smart. Hun jo megasmart. Det jo nesten skummelt.
Jeg så ikke
men
på
så hun det, kjempedårlig på mediehåndtering. Og hvordan, det, hvordan hun fremstår som en sånn der unnalurer, som nekter å svare. Det jævlig dumt, for hun bare ble sånn, faen
hun. Ja, hun sikkert kjempeflink. Ja,
jeg tror hun er kjempesmart. Det er sånn
kløner
skummelt
til med å ikke kunne svare, må jo si noe. Du kan ikke si, jeg vil ikke uttale meg.
Du men det det som kanskje hun så smart at hun på sånn der autistnivå, hvor hun bare, jeg menneske, hvor hun tenker, nei, du en robot, du for smart, og du klarer ikke å ha en vanlig samtale med et annet menneske.
Hun så, den første roboten.
Ja, hun den første kunstig intelligensen.
Som, ja, ja, hun Terminator, hun John Connor.
Ja, litt feilvare. Ja, men det ganske flaut det der opplegget at de... Det leste at han der Matapour hadde invitert PST på middag til og med.
Nei, det leste jeg ikke, men...
Jo, han inviterte det på middag etter solnedgang.
Men det leste det... du i Se-Hør, ikke sant?
Nei, nei, nei. Det er i rapporten.
Ja, jeg bare tuller.
Ja, det høres ut som det er helt bullshit, og så er det ikke det. Så da var det ramadan, så kom på middag til meg etter solnedgang, og så sier PST, nei, det er ingen som er på jobb, vi på påskeferie.
Så du kønner.
Nei. Så de hadde altså, påskeferie, og da kunne de ikke komme.
Hva er det de holder på med?
Ja. Og det ser
for det første kan ikke PST han, ha påskeferie greit. I det hele tatt.
Nei.
Det går jo ikke. De kan ikke ha påskeferie og sitte og sole seg med solo i hytteveggen.
Altså når trusselen muslimske terroriser, så kan du ikke ta i høytidene, kan du ikke ta ferie. Det jo da de slår til.
Det da det skjer.
Det da de koser seg.
Midt under Pride og påskeferie så sitter ja. De oppe i solveggen med solo og kvikklunch og bare, nei PST, vi har ferie, vi skjønner hippura for Norge, ja. Eller? Det sto også en sak i avisa i dag at sikkerheten i Norge crap. Men ja. Var ikke det hele opplegget etter han der Behring Breivik at ja. nå skal vi ta oss sammen og dette skal aldri skje igjen.
Ja.
Nå det full sving i PST liksom.
Altså det er jo
det, så det første påskeferie så sitter de og knasker Kvikk Lunsj. Det jo helt krise.
Mens de som var på Pride måtte ta seg av han Matapour selv.
Ja, og det
var de som la han i bakken.
Ja.
De som var der.
De sivile som var der, ja.
Og, men det som gøy med det, jeg håper at alle som la han i bakken var skeive.
Ja.
Fordi det må svi ekstra for han Matapour og han Batty.
At han ble lagt i bakken av en skeiv fyr,
ja. Ja, av en gjeng med skeive folk.
Ja, deilig.
Ja, det var det som var, det synes jeg bare sånn, fordi det spiller jo ikke noen rolle for oss, men for han,
ja, ja.
Så er det jo mega
utviklende. Jeg vil jo bare bli lagt i bakken av en skeiv fyr.
Ja. Ja, alle vil jo det, egentlig det. Men vi har det til samfunnet da, hvor det en feil.
Nei, liksom ikke.
Men innerst inne så vil alle bli lagt i bakken av et par skeive folk.
Jeg syklet gjennom der i sted faktisk. Det jo lagt helt ny sånn flagg i bakken ut av. Jeg synes det så kult at de har lagd en sånn Pride-gate der nå, at det ja. Er... At det malt på asfalten.
Ja, gratulerer Matapour og Batty. Dere fikk en egen Pride-gate.
Ja, det kjempefint.
Bra jobba.
Så det bra at de, for at det blir jo liksom viska bort, holdt
ja,
det
ja, ja.
Men nå så jeg at det var helt nytt igjen, så det bra. Ja. Jeg skal ikke på noe Pride-arrangement. Jeg skal dra på
ytta. Jeg tør ikke. Jeg tør ikke være i nærheten av noe Pride. Jeg er livredd for å bli skutt i filibiter.
Jeg hadde jo det som en vits når det der skjedde i fjor. Det jo... Ja, var det gøy, fordi det var rett etterpå. At ja. Nå må vi stå samlet. Kanskje ikke utenfor London.
Ja, men det jo sånn det nå, altså. Det liksom sånn, åja, dere... Så hvis noen av de gærningene som skriver på Facebook sier at de skal komme og ta oss, så skal dere ikke stoppe dem, eller? For da blir jeg hjemme.
Men du, vi har jo rett og slett en gjest fra Los Angeles.
Ja.
Så vi skal kanskje ta inn han.
Ja, og det jo litt fordi jeg kom 10 minutter for sent i dag.
Ja, så vi må gønne på litt.
Ja, vi må gønne på litt.
Men det gjør ikke noe vi... Det jo koselig når vi har komikere som kommer til latter. Og så var vi der en tur i går og tittet på det fantastiske showet.
Ja, jeg rakk jo bare Paul Myrhaug, eller Paul ja, Myrhaug.
Ja, han har jo vært gjest her før.
Ja.
Og jeg spurte om han ville bli med, for da vi kunne fint vært 4 stykker i dag. Men nå har vi i hvert fall Dwayne Perkins på besøk, ja. Så jeg går og henter han.
Ja.
Og så får vi høre litt om LA, the LA scene, Jona.
Ja, og så skal jeg, for jeg leste jo meg opp på hans Wikipedia, så kan jeg fortelle dette. Han har jo vært på Conan og regular på Jay Leno. Og er jo født mye tidligere enn jeg trodde. Jeg trodde jo, jeg har jo pratet til han som om jeg den erfarne.
Åja, så han holdt på lenge?
Han født i 1971, André.
Ja,
så han Wikipedia.
Så but now we have to speak English, vet du nå.
Yes, og han debuterte på Conan, tror jeg.
Er det sant?
I 94.
Det
vi
hører om.
Yes. So, hi, Dwayne.
Hey. Hi, Dwayne, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited. I just told our listeners, and Andre, you're born in 1971?
Correct. Yes.
So
yes.
We are almost the same age. I'm actually a couple of years older than you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though it doesn't look that way.
No.
I thought you were younger than me.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I've been talking to you like.
Right.
Yeah, I'm your daddy. Let me give you some advice. I read up on your Wikipedia on the way down. And it's like, wow.
You know, said you've been on Conan and. That's your
or Jay Leno,
or that was your first gig, like TV gig, or
yeah. Conan was my first TV way back in 99.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
yes.
How long have you been doing stand-up? When did you start?
I think 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what year is it now?
23.
Maybe 30 years or 29. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Cool.
Because I started
in New York, because you're from New York.
Started in New York, yeah, in the 90s. And then I moved to Boston. So really, it's weird. I'm like a Boston comic in a sense, because I was an open micer when I moved to New York. When I moved to Boston, excuse me.
Yeah.
And then from Boston to LA, but I would go to New York a lot.
Okay.
But I've never lived in New York as a professional comic, even though, you know, I'm a New Yorker and people associate me with New York, but I've lived in LA for like over 20 years.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to be a Boston comic? Because I've heard podcasts with other comedians, they talk about, oh, we're from the Boston scene, oh, they're in New York.
Right.
What's the difference?
The Boston scene is great. You know, I was fortunate. I didn't like research it or know anything, you know? Like out of college, I had an interview with this company in Arizona, and I was like, I knew nothing about Arizona. And had I known that, like, Gary Shandling was from Arizona, David Spade, but I didn't know that. But I had another opportunity in Boston, and I knew, like, Jay Leno was from Boston, Conan was from Boston. So the Boston scene is great because it's, like, the New England area, which is, like, Boston, Vermont, Maine, Rhode Island. That little area is, like, it's almost like its own country. It's like you get in that area, which you get in the whole entire rest of the country.
Oh, okay.
Because Boston is a city, it's a happening, it's got a good vibe. And you only go like 1 hour in any direction, and then it's like you're in the middle of America.
Oh, okay.
Whereas like if you live in Chicago, you can do the same thing, but everything is like three, four hours away. And there's so many great, 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 great comics in Boston. It's like, I tell people, people in Boston, just the regular people, are like some of the funniest people you'll ever meet. Like the cab driver is funny, the guy at the 7-Eleven, they're all quick-witted, they're all like super sarcastic, and it's cool. But like I came up there with my New York vibe and I kind of blended the two, because you know, Boston comics, they don't, sometimes I think New York comics, they want you to think you're having a conversation.
Okay.
On stage. And I'm a little bit like that. But Boston comics, there's no, it's like I'm getting on stage and
shut
I'm
the fuck up.
joke. Just kill. Yeah. And so we come up under that. And so you
Bill Burr's from Boston, isn't he?
Bill Burr hit like the list of guys. Bill Burr, Patrice O'Neill was from Boston.
Yeah. Joe Rogan, isn't he?
He might have some Boston ties.
He
might have went through there. A lot of guys also who are like me, who are not like from there, kind of got their legs there. Dane Cook is from Boston. So many. So
it's actually a bigger scene than we maybe know here. Because we know about New York and LA.
Right.
And the big place like the Comedy Store. And the Village, was it? We've been there.
Cellar?
Yeah, the Cellar. And
yes, definitely.
And
they're guys who never left, who are the funniest guys I've ever seen in my life. And they're just Boston legends, you know. And it's like when you're coming up in open mics and things like that. And also Boston is the only scene that it mirrors the urban scene. Like it's like the white comedy in Boston has something similar to the black comedy in all the rest of the country. And that is the host is the funniest guy.
Yeah, okay.
Usually on some shows, not like a three-man show, but if it's a showcase show, the host is like, so in Boston, you'd have these guys host and like you couldn't follow them. Uh-huh. So like your whole mission was to be able to follow the host.
Okay. And then, like a challenge?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like...
That's kind of similar as here. They book the good comedians as hosts because when people come from other countries here, they think that the host, that's just a guy that puts the other
like
ones on.
Like in New York, the host is usually shit.
Right, right. Yeah. That's the way the rest of the country is like that. It doesn't make sense.
No.
I don't know why it's like that. But yeah, Boston wasn't like that. The host was like...
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm forgetting some names. There's like so many, I mean, Stephen Wright, they're killer comics. Dana Gould, like Boston is a great scene. I think the funniest people, I always think the funniest white people in America, it's kind of a tie between maybe Boston and Minnesota for some reason.
Okay.
They have that like dry wit. And then the funniest black people for the longest time were from like DC area. And now, I don't know, it might be Atlanta, but because DC had the mix of Northern sensibilities and Southern sensibilities. And it's just something about that blend made them hilarious.
Chappelle is DC.
Chappelle is DC, yeah. And he came up under Tony Woods. I don't know if Tony Woods has ever been here, but he's hilarious.
Okay, no, I haven't heard of him.
Sorry about that. He's sort of like Chappelle's mentor in a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So what's the difference with, we would never say, like, he's a black comic, he's a white comic. How is that? Because we hear about black rooms. Bill Burr used to do black rooms. And is that like?
What is it? And we say black rooms, but sometimes we say urban rooms. That's sort of like the code.
That's the new.
Yeah, for the longest time.
That's the thing to say.
Urban vibe.
Yeah. So
five black people in a room.
I think the difference is that it's like, I don't know if you guys know Gary Owen. He's a white comic, but he came up in black rooms. There's a lot of white comics like that. The difference is only rhythm. It's like the same jokes. It's like the rhythm of it is different. And even me, like I do a lot of what we call mainstream rooms, which means white rooms. And
because we don't have that here. There's no difference. The clubs are clubs. That's everybody goes everywhere.
New York is like that. Like New York, the crowds are kind of mixed. And so the vibe, like the, I think the difference is that like with the urban rooms, and sometimes I have to remind myself if I do a black room, it's not about the jokes. It's about your personality. And then in white rooms, you can kind of like win them over with the jokes and then bring your personality in.
Because I did some clubs in New York a long time ago. I did a couple of extreme rooms.
Right.
And they asked if I want to do a place. And I said, yeah, let's go. And there was an urban
room.
After seeing two comedians, I just know I'm not going up. They're going to eat me alive.
All right, right. That's a good move. You know, no, you might have done well, but I had a situation like that in London. Like London has they have a black scene.
Okay.
But I don't think it's well known, but it exists, but it's kind of like this one show I went to, this black show in London. It was like comedy, but then they had musical acts. You know, it was just like a variety kind of thing. Like some guy would come up and do a few reggae songs, then it'd be back to comedy. And I was just hanging out in London, and they said, come by, do 5 minutes. And I got there, and then the guy was like, oh, I'm so sorry, we don't have time. Just a guest spot. I said, oh, no problem, I'll just watch the show. And I'm like eating. It's like, I'm eating like, I don't know, beans and rice. It's like Jamaican food, you know? And then this another American there was Willie. His name is RoboCop. Willie RoboCop. He does voices. He's really funny, but he does like robot. He became like kind of famous doing
police school,
police RoboCop. Academy.
Not
police
that
academy.
Guy. That's okay. Kevin Winslow. But he's similar to that guy.
Yeah.
But he kills. And he so he was doing his stuff, and then he started killing. I mean, it was like the place was shaking.
Okay.
And I'm not dissing him. So, Willie, I'm not dissing you. I'm just painting a picture. He did this bit about, like, how you fuck a girl, right? And then he's like, I fuck a girl like a gorilla. And he like, threw the stool down. And he, like, he started doing this, like, gorilla move. And everyone was fucking losing. And he's, like, fucking a chair. And I'm just sitting there eating my curry. Like, this guy's fucking killing. Then the host comes over to me. And he's like, hey, because you could tell nobody wants to go up after him. So, now, you told me I wasn't going up. And I'm eating curry. I'm just chilling. And he goes, hey, man, you want to do five after Willie? I was like, fuck out of here. You crazy? So I was like, no, I got to go. And I left. because you can't say you got to go and then not leave, right? So
yeah, then you got to go.
But like,
oh, there was,
sometimes you got to read those situations where people are like,
yeah. I just remember now
make you a sacrificial lamb, you know?
And I mean, yeah. Like, what do you call that? And if it's Hispanic.
Yes.
Hispanic room.
We say Latin too, yeah.
Yeah.
Latin.
And Yannis Pappas was the guy that took me. Do you know him? He's a New York comedian.
Yeah, also, I think so. Yeah. Sounds.
Yeah, I think he's around now as well. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he took me to these places. And one of the places he was going to do was a Hispanic room. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could go up there as well. But when we got there, I didn't understand anything what they were talking
right,
about.
Right, because we
have no Hispanic in Norway. So that was also a place I just, I'm not going up here.
But Hispanic rooms are actually probably the best rooms, only because, again, it's the merging of different cultures. And they kind of like, black rooms are great, but sometimes they're like just too much. Like black rooms are great. Like I said, the host is the funniest. But you know what they do sometimes? Because the energy is not right. So before the host goes up, sometimes they'll just put some dude up there. and they disassociate themselves with him. He's not a part of the show.
Okay.
Right? It's a good training ground if you want to like prove yourself. But it's like literally people are walking in, they're eating. It's just the room hasn't been set yet. And then there's some guy up there doing comedy. And then they go, okay, now let's start the show. Like, you literally, it's like walking through a minefield. Like, just clear that field for us really quick, and then we'll.
Just get rid of these wolves and mines.
And so, I just did a room in Detroit recently, and I'm going to go back and do it again, because the owner really likes me, this Detroit guy, right? He's a great dude. He always says to me, Brother Dwayne. And as soon as he said, Brother Perkins, I was like, oh, I don't know. I like that. I like being addressed like that. But I'm like, I don't know what about. And this guy really loves comedy and he gets it. But the pairing was off and he paired me with a guy who's also really funny. Because I don't judge. Like, all comedy is good. But it just was a bad pairing. I struggled. But he still wants me back. You know, this was like last year, you know. And he called me and he's like, the room is better now. And I think the room was fine. I think he just paired me with, like sometimes comics in America, they think it's like, we can't divorce it. And I'm sure it happens here from like sports.
Okay.
Like we think it's like a competitive thing and it is on some level, but then it's not on another level. So the guy I was going with, I know he's a great comic and he probably like wanted to show me, you think you're the guy, you come in and, that's what happens in Boston too, though. Like,
yeah, I heard that
the biggest headliners will come in, and the local guys will just bury them. You know?
Yeah,
yeah. I heard that they talked about it on. Cool. I think it was Rogan, some podcast where they, if you're from New York or somewhere, you think you're something, and they would put you between two of the most vicious killers in Boston. Look at you now, and then you're just done.
Absolutely. So,
incredible. They talked about like a thing that they used to do. If you blew up somewhere else,
absolutely.
You come to Boston, we'll kill you.
How's the scene in LA? Because that's where you live.
Yeah. LA is cool. It's a good scene. It's like
Is it still like Comedy Store is the biggest venue? Yeah, or
I guess club? It's like
comedians.
Like I always map LA to New York in a sense because the Comedy Store is like the cellar.
Yeah,
similar vibe, and then the Improv. You could say it's kind of like, I don't know, would that be like Gotham? Or maybe the Laugh Factory is like Gotham. So LA is just, it's just like the Wild Wild West, you know, because there's three or four really well-known comedy clubs. I would say Gotham is like the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Okay.
That's where Jay Leno performs every Sunday. Typically.
Okay, still?
Still, yeah.
That's I think that's impressive and cool.
Yeah,
he's
it's
never
cool.
given up the... Even though he has one of the biggest shows, talk shows, he still goes and
they talked about it on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yeah.
That he's so afraid of losing everything, so he has to have his comedy.
Yeah.
So he has a living.
No, seriously. Yeah. And even when he had the show, he was always doing corporates. like
why?
And so he would use the comedy magic, I think, to like test out the bits and things like that. So LA is like... But LA is like, I don't know if it's like that here. There's a weird thing happening in LA where the comedy clubs are the comedy clubs, the comedy store is really cool and what have you. But then there's this like the alt scene, which is different everywhere. In America, the alternative scene is like, I don't know, it's like David Cross, you know what I mean? Like Eugene Merman. Like it's
kind of different, another type of comedy or?
Yeah, kind of like, I'm trying to say soak some comics or like, he's really funny. Who's the guy who does the puzzles? He's hilarious. I can't think of his name right now. And I know him. I actually know him. It'll come to me, but basically it's like it started in the 90s, maybe late 80s, 90s, where comedy got a little too, like you said, alpha earlier, it got a little too like, I guess there was too much masculine energy or too much like, you know, I don't know, just too many guys in blazers or something. So there's this alt scene.
That's happened there as well.
when we started out, people were in blazers. Right. And, it's like toxic.
And then suddenly it was like, that was the most off thing to wear on stage.
Right.
Like the jeans and the
jeans and the black blazer.
And the black blazer. All the old guys had it, everybody.
Right.
And
right.
When we started, it was lose the blazer.
So it's a similar thing, right? Yeah. And so, but the alt scene is like, I guess it was just more giving a voice to people who couldn't do the mainstream rooms. Women, you could say weirdos, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, so that scene really blew up to the point now where like a lot of people come from that scene. A lot of funny people come from that scene. And in LA, what I was going to say is that there's this sort of undercurrent of like rooms in like speakeasies in the back of barbershops, outside and backyards. It's almost like, it's not exactly, but it almost feels like if you're doing comedy in a comedy club, you're like a hack. Sometimes it feels like that.
Yeah.
Because like on a Thursday night, you might do some backyard show. Just some backyard show.
And it's cooler.
Literally seats in the backyard. Yeah, and there's 60 people there. And like there are probably more people here than at the Improv right now. So it's kind of a weird, everyone's created their own thing, you know, in the back of comic book shops and stuff like that. So it's all cool, but everything that tries to like prevent human nature from happening doesn't, you know what I mean? So like this scene was great and then it still is, but then like you start to realize, oh, there's some hacks in this scene too.
Yeah.
And there's some guys who are just copying other guys too. And you guys are also doing dick jokes, which is fine. But your dick jokes are ironic. Like, it's not a dick joke when you do it because it's like a smart dick joke, you know. So it's all the same, basically.
But we always talk about here in Norway, we don't have enough clubs. We can't go, if you want to test out some new material, you can't go like 3, 4, 5 clubs in one night.
Right.
But you do that, right?
In New York, you can for sure. In LA, you can, but the setup of LA makes it a little hard.
Yeah, because it's so far away.
Yeah. Unless you're like fortunate enough to do the main three because they're close. The Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, and the Improv are all within a 5-minute drive of each other.
Okay. Yeah, but you have to drive.
You still have to drive, yeah. I mean, you can walk, but it's like a 20-minute walk to each. Yeah,
and you look stupid in LA.
yeah, absolutely.
I did that with Tadja Espersma. I've never been there. We went there, and let's just walk. Let's be Norwegians, and we look like hobos. And there is no taxis picking you up.
Right.
Because no one's walking, so we just look like homeless people for a day. It was stupid.
In fact, as you say that, I'm like, even though you're here, so it worked out. Like you say that, and I'm like worried for you. Like, where were you walking? Because you can't walk everywhere.
No, we went to see Burbank to see Jay Leno.
Nice.
And then we decided to walk back. So that was
what? Really dangerous.
I don't know what we were thinking. We went there to visit some guys who had a clothing brand.
Oh, nice.
Who was in Norway, and they were opening shop on Robertson Street, and they had like Tommy Lee wore their clothes and No Doubt, and
oh, nice.
So they had a management
A&E or like the biggest.
Right, right.
Yeah, so they hooked us up with tickets everywhere, and we had one day was like, let's do this, let's do LA on our own.
Right.
And so
right,
the
right.
first
we and you fucked up.
Yeah, we fucked up from breakfast. Breakfast. We had dinner. Had breakfast at like the kitchen, like the door just slammed in our faces. We paid way too much, and then we started walking, and everyone was honking losers, and we just had the most horrible day.
And it sounds like it could be dangerous as well.
Yeah,
it can probably. Be. Yeah, yeah. LA is weird. It's like New York. The danger is apparent, so you can feel when you're in a dangerous situation.
Yeah,
LA, it sneaks up on you. You don't even. Sometimes until it's too late, you know?
Like we walked into that ghetto place up in...
In Harlem?
Yeah. Or in Bronx or what, where we were.
But yeah, we tried to do like Sunday, maybe find a church in Harlem. Walk. And we just took the wrong
street. And we were like, oh, there's a kind of gangster vibe in this street.
Right, yeah, I think we should just go back. There was like projects, buildings everywhere. Right. We're like, I think we stand out.
And that's the thing with LA, like... In New York, you guys were walking, you see the projects. Ooh. In LA, the projects are smaller and there's still palm trees.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that's the one thing LA could do. They could make it easier for visitors by, if you don't see palm trees, so take the palm trees out of certain neighborhoods just to be like, is this a palm tree neighborhood or is this not? But every neighborhood has palm trees, so it looks beautiful.
But it's much more dangerous there, isn't it, when you get into the wrong places in LA?
It can be, it can be. It's tough because you're going to be in your car, so it's not too dangerous if you just keep going.
Just don't stop on a red light.
We did that in LA. We take
your wheels off the car while you're waiting for a green light.
Yeah, we went to fill gas in Compton.
Right.
So we just took off the highway. And the guy working there was just, you're tourists? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. He was just, take that street and get the fuck out. He was just, don't be here.
See, America.
In a rental car, he just, don't be here.
I actually went in the wrong street in Bangkok at night one time also. Guy with tits. That said, I think you're in the wrong neighborhood. You should get the fuck out everywhere.
Nice.
This is dangerous.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice because he could shank me and take my money and everything instead.
Yeah.
But
Americans
and motorboat you with his tits.
That's the thing about America. I feel like you have to pay a premium for safety. I think that's how they get you because, like, you can't cheat their system. You can't be like, I'm just gonna live here, you know, unless you like come with a gang of hipsters and you all come in the same wave to try to like make it safe for you, but. You can't just be like, I'm going to live here, you know? My cousins, we were meeting in Oklahoma. They're from Florida. And they drove to, I flew into Oklahoma and they drove from Florida to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's like in the middle of the country, right above Texas. So it's a long drive. And when they got to Texas, this is America, and this really happened. So if any Americans are listening, I'm not trying to shit on America, but my cousins are black, right? So they pull into this rest station in Texas and a black cop notices them. They're two females. And he goes, where are you guys from? We're from Florida. And he goes, okay. This is in Texas. He goes, okay, look here, fill up here and don't stop until you get to this city, like 2 hours away. You know what I mean? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is that what they call a sundown town?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't even know that people knew that kind of thing.
I don't think, but it's, I think, whatever, it's like
it used to
back
be a
in
thing.
The days.
Yeah, yeah.
If the sun goes down and you're black, don't be here. So that's a sundown town. So then you have to go somewhere else if you want to stay over.
Right.
That's what the Green Book is about.
Yes, exactly.
You have a Green Book, so where can you eat if you're black?
Yeah. Yeah, especially on Route 66.
And it's still like some places.
This was like
the same,
this was
it?
Like 10 years ago. Yeah. And so I think it was like he was just saying, not that you can't stop, but just it's better if you don't stop. Because they probably weren't, he was like, fill up. It felt like it was like fill up
and get the fuck,
you know,
out.
Maybe
of
buy one of those portable tanks and fill that
fucking
up.
Mad Max.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But if we, because we've been talking about this, and I told you actually yesterday also that we've been so many times in New York and seen the scene and done all the things, and now we said maybe next time we should go to LA and check that out because I'd never been there, and I thought if we come and I think the best thing is that someone that knows the city can show you around, or else you will
absolutely
a hard time.
Well, you could always
not a hard time, but it's much easier to find the good places.
Oh yeah, you could always do the touristy things. Those are usually safe, but have someone show you around. That's good, because I mean, LA is pretty safe and people.
But it's so big.
Yeah, so if you go somewhere and it this place sucks, or you didn't know, then you have to go all the way back.
Yeah,
right.
Like in New York, you can just, this sucks, and go next door and find a new.
And people who are transplants, like I know LA probably more than most people who like people move to LA and they don't explore the whole part of it. They just stay within. Usually it's like it's a highway thing, and there's a 10 freeway that goes east west. And back in the day, still a little bit, you just knew not to go south of that freeway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you didn't go north of a certain thing, too. So it's like, you know, there's like black gangs, there's Mexican gangs, it's a whole thing. But you typically wouldn't experience any of that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think also that because it's so big, you wouldn't know even where to start to get a, if you say you're there for 5 or 7
right,
days.
Right.
You'll just fuck up a couple of days because you don't know where to go or don't know what eat, where to.
Yeah, it's not like a city
see
like
the good comedy or the bad ones,
like,
or whatever.
Like Oslo, you could just come here and figure it out.
Yeah.
LA is not, because it's not, in my opinion, a city in the traditional sense. Like we do have a metro system, but it's not that useful.
No,
you know, so it's not. It's really just a bunch of smaller cities. That are all connected.
Like 8 cities or something?
Yeah,
that's
like...
called LA?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 8 little cities that are called LA, yeah.
So, but if you go, where should we live? Or like get a room or a hotel?
What's
the best?
It depends, right? So like if you want like to be able to go everywhere...
Close to, what's it called?
Maybe Hollywood or West LA. But if you want to like... just be somewhere cool and nice than Santa Monica. But
yeah, that's what I was
thinking. That's as far west as you can go. So everything is a pain in the ass. When you leave there, you're always going, like, you can only go three directions, but really you only go in one direction. But Malibu or Santa Monica are really nice and beautiful.
Yeah.
But it won't be like easy to get to other places. But, you know, if you have a car,
yeah,
and you guys drive on the same side of the road, it would be cool because I could get you guest spots if you
want to get up on stage.
Yes. Have you both done comedy in English? You have, right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. And you have a different set, or it's just sort of like you take the same set?
I haven't done English.
I translated my set, and it's a pain in the ass. In my head, I have to think in Norwegian, then I have to translate to English, and then I have to speak English.
Oh, wow.
And then it's just hard work. And so now they have started doing... English nights at Latte.
Oh, nice.
And I've been emceeing a couple of them.
Oh, that's
And then
dope.
I'm just freestyling. And it's so much easier when you don't have to think about
it.
Yeah, so in my experience, if I want to do it again in English, do a set, I would probably write in start out with new material in English.
So
it's not written in Norwegian and then translated, because I think you lose
a little bit of the comedy. Write it in English and English when you do it, because I think it must be 5-6 years since I've done it in English, but I translated and did it all, and I felt this is not I started writing some English jokes instead, or kind of the same jokes, but in just do it again.
Right, that's really
in
impressive.
In a new way, that's better. But now we also have English rooms in Oslo. So we can go, if we had an appointment with you, you get us a couple of spots, we could go here and test it out a couple of 3 nights maybe before we left and check out. So that's cool. So I think I would have done that, because the first time I did it in English was in New York. And that was kind of hard. Because I had no idea, is this good or do they understand? And it worked out pretty okay, I think.
Nice. I did my first time in London. I went there to visit my ex-girlfriend at the time. And she was studying there. And we wanted to go to, what is it, the comedy? Yeah, one of the And it was all sold out.
Oh,
and
not the Comedy Store in Piccadilly.
Yeah, Comedy Store. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. We tried to go there and it was sold out. And then someone told, hey, you can go to Angel Comedy Club, which is, I think it's better now, but it was a raggedy.
Right,
so
we
went there and the MC was the one standing in the door, was also selling tickets. And just, so you're here to see David?
He made the drinks.
Yeah, and you're here to see David? No. So who are you here to see? No, we're just like tourists. Oh, really? Come in. And so we sat down and she was the host as well at the MC and she started talking to the audience.
All the comedians in the room? Or?
Yeah, no, they were actually, but they were friends of the comedians. So it was a good crowd.
Like
but,
a bringer show.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so so she started talking to the audience. Hey, who are you? Where are you guys from? Oh, Norway. So that was a big laugh, me being Norwegian. Just,
yeah.
And what do you do there? Oh, I'm a comedian. And then, she, okay, after the break, come up. I've been having a couple of beers and I was like, nah. And the whole room was, yeah, do it. And then I went up and I translated my, like the first material you have
is
the easiest. Like it's so obvious. I'm black. And then I get, I'm black from Norway and people didn't, what's Norway? Yeah, I strangled a polar bear. So that's why I'm famous in Norway. And they, oh, good. So I had a, like, they, like all the stereotypical jokes were enhanced by the weirdness of being Norwegian, I think. And also the comedians were like been doing comedy for like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So my experience still in doing it in a different language, I think mine. So I had a good, I think I did like 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, this is good.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so, cool. And they were, oh, you come back tomorrow. And I think Angel Comedy Club is a lot better now than it was then. But
you travel around the whole world.
Yeah. My goal is one day to do comedy in another language, but I have to learn another language first. So maybe Spanish. Yeah. But yeah, travel all around. In fact, I'm going to, in September, I'm going to Hong Kong to do some shows. So we'll see how that goes.
Have you been there before?
I have, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And then Japan, but for the troops, for the US troops, but then maybe I'll pick up some local shows for expats, so it's kind of like.
So how's Hong Kong?
Hong Kong
comedy.
I haven't been in a while. It's nice. It's like a little dense city. It's like 6 million, I think. But it's maybe the densest
dense city. 6 million. That's the entirety of
this
Norway.
Norway. Yeah, no, it's you know, Shanghai has 25 million people.
Yeah,
and Australia has 25 million people. The whole of Australia has 25 million people. It's crazy.
It's not more?
No, it's about 25, 26. Wow. And Shanghai has as many people just in Shanghai. Yeah. Maybe like the greater Shanghai area. Hong Kong is great. So I think I started going there. First time I went to Hong Kong was in 1999. And I think it's like, it's still great. But I think it's definitely, every time you go, it's more China.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So do you have to be aware of what you're saying on stage or if you say something against China?
Right. A little
bit.
Will
they laugh or because there's like 5 agents there? Right.
I mean, I don't really get into that, so I don't really have to think about it too much. But I do think it's something you have to think about, you know, if you wanted to. It's better just to leave it all alone, you know? Yeah. So...
But it's weird because we can say whatever we want on stage in Norway or in the US.
Then
for you to travel all over the world, like if you do Dubai.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Dubai has rules. In fact, I was in Malaysia last year and I felt bad about it because it had nothing to do with me. But because I was the last like international headliner they had and it happened right after I left. So I think some people think I was there when it happened, but I wasn't. But the club got shut down. Like it was, I think it was literally the day after I left because like I did a Saturday show, but I didn't do the Sunday show. And the Sunday show, I think was an open mic show. And this woman, I don't know if it was a protest or if it was sabotage, but she gets on stage and someone's filming her. She's open mic. They don't even know who she is. She's just an open micer. And I think she like stripped down to her bikini and did some anti-government stuff.
Yeah.
and maybe religious stuff. And they were Muslim. Malaysia's a Muslim country, and so they like
talk some shit about the king,
and it didn't matter that like they didn't encourage her to do this. They just shut the club down.
Yeah,
it's really sad, you know.
Okay. Yeah. It's So freedom of speech isn't everywhere.
Well, it's crazy is that, you know, like I kind of respect wherever I'm at, whatever rules they have. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I'm just a visitor. Like,
yeah.
I'll work within your parameters. You know, but for a little while, it felt
Whereas, but just say, I mean, if you say yes and you go there.
Right.
Just like you don't have to.
You kind of agreed to the rules.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And you can still be funny. And sometimes the rules aren't that club in Malaysia, you could have fun, you know? It's just that this girl filmed herself doing it and posted it online.
Okay.
So it was like she had a different thing going.
She probably had a different agenda, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen people... Even in all these places, I won't single out any place, but all these places I've seen people, you know, playfully say something about the government or playfully do sex jokes, drinking jokes. It's usually fine if you don't go too crazy with it.
Yeah.
But America got a little weird. It's still a little weird. Like, you can say what you want, right?
As long as not transgender jokes.
Yeah, that. And also, yeah, people, the audience polices you, not the government anymore. Huh. So, like, oh, man. I can count maybe not even on my hands, maybe. So like a lot of times I've seen people do Trump jokes and the audience won't let them continue.
Really?
There might be one or two Trump people in the crowd. And sometimes like the guy on stage, I know that guy's a Republican. He might be even pro-Trump. They won't even let him get to the joke.
Okay.
I've seen it happen a few times.
Wow.
Where they just either boo or they just stop you. And yeah, that too. But I think with the transgender thing, you can say the joke. You just get canceled after.
You get canceled after. it's strange that... Because I always thought that if someone tells a joke about you, it's kind of, you are remembered, you are in
Me
our
too.
Vision.
It's inclusive.
Exactly.
You're including them,
so
right?
So if you don't, that's the that's worse.
Yeah.
If they don't remember you, don't talk about you, and don't have
Absolutely.
You in your vision,
Absolutely.
You're out.
Because
so I think it's kind of strange that they get so mad about this.
I think
it's better that, because we haven't talked about it before.
Right.
Then we didn't think about
them. They're kind of afraid of where it's going to go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember I was dating this girl, and she had these jeans. She had these jeans, 7 for Mankind or whatever. And I guess they're expensive jeans. This is a long time ago. So they were like, at the time it was a lot for jeans. So maybe we're talking 15 years ago, maybe they were like $200, whatever. It was a lot for jeans.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to her, oh, so what do you like about these jeans? And I think she felt like I was setting her up. And she was like, well, I don't want to talk about it. I'm just trying to get like what are the advantages of these jeans? They cost 4 times as much as other jeans. I just want to know. I don't want to talk about it. Also, I'm a comedian, right?
Yeah.
So like when you're a comedian, that's why I think the Trump people, they know that you're going to form some kind of argument, some kind of thing that's impenetrable.
Yeah.
That's going to make too much sense.
Yeah.
And I'm just not even going to let you get there.
No.
Because I have to rethink my whole... Right. I can't debate what you're about to say, but I can stop you from saying it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I think that's what it is with that. Like people don't know where you're going with it. You know,
and
sometimes you know, it's like if your heart is pure, you're like, no, it's okay. I'm not coming from a hateful standpoint,
exactly.
But they don't know. So they want to just jam you up, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that.
And then the comedian brain goes, I'm going to talk about this.
Right. Exactly.
But at the same time, you don't want to get canceled. Because the people running clubs, like you wouldn't get that here as much as I think in the US. Like if you have a club, you want people to come and you don't want comedians disturb the
but even more than that, what can get you canceled in America, that can, like stepping on the LGBT thing, without the right amount of care or whatever the case, any kind of assault accusation also can get you super canceled as a man. Like, so any kind of like, even if it's pending, even if, you know, and I've always thought like we should let the courts. Like, if you get convicted of something, okay, cool. But, and like, even if you haven't been convicted, if you've been accused, that can get you just completely shut down.
Like Chris D'Elia is being accused again.
Again?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
But it feels like everybody knows that, even though he's not convicted, everybody knows.
Right.
So then it's...
Something, I don't know. Yeah. And I've heard different things. I've heard, you know, I know some friends. I know him. He's cool. And I know some of his friends, and they've defended him. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I always... This is the one thing I will say. When those kind of matters, I always purposefully know as little as possible.
Yeah.
So that I'm always like, I remember when I was, it's going back, but when the OJ trial was happening, this is how old I am. I had a job and I would never watch the OJ trial.
No.
So then I'd go to work and people were like, did you see what happened? I was like, hey man, I didn't watch it. I'm sorry. Because I didn't want to have to even.
How was that? Because I've seen the... The
documentary and the
drama the drum, with the
right
yeah and I just rewatched Ross. It I love that
it's incredible
the and how was that in LA at the time, because that was like two years after Rodney King.
I was in Boston at that time, but it was wild. It was just like it was so hard to stay out of the fray, but then I had a joke about it too, though. I forget what the joke was. Oh man, it was a good joke too. It was something about It was something about when he got off. I joked about that. Oh, I know. It was. Remember, he got convicted again.
Yeah, for getting back his stuff.
Yeah.
Kidnapping.
He stole back his stuff.
Yeah, from his memorabilia.
So. Yeah.
I think I said. I don't know. I can't remember, but it was something like. It was something like white people got so happy. It was the first time they got rhythm. And then they were all just sort of dancing. And I can't remember exactly, but it was something like that. But
I saw the new Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix. And he has a great joke on OJ. Oh. Because OJ, the first Terminator movie, OJ was supposed to play the Terminator.
Are you serious?
But he didn't get the part because they didn't see him as a killer.
Whoa, that's so funny.
So Schwarzenegger got it instead.
That's hilarious.
That's acting.
I can't even picture OJ in that, because he was in the Naked Gun movies.
He was like the number one guy to play the Terminator.
That's crazy.
Schwarzenegger was supposed to play John Connor, but after he read the material, he read the script, and he said, "I feel more that maybe I should be the Terminator." Right.
And was Nicole supposed to be Sarah Connor? I'm just like,
do you follow OJ on Twitter?
No.
You should. Because he acts like he's not a killer.
Right.
And he has his takes on all the games. And so he would be a good sports commentator. Obviously,
I gotta check that out.
One of the greatest of all time. So every time he has he's always on the golf course, and he talks about last night's game or upcoming games, and the comments is just like internet. It's so funny. Like, the killer take OJ. Not the first time you took a stab at the Browns. It's all those jokes every time.
So he must not be reading the comments. So he's developed some kind of Teflon.
Yeah.
He's impervious.
He's raising the kids that he killed their mom. He's just in his own world.
Wow.
I'm the greatest player of all times. And people want to hear my takes
on
the game. And he's just like in this whole other world. And the comments are just like, killer. You're a killer, OJ.
You didn't
do it.
They're just, but is he on drugs or?
I don't know. Oh, by the way, too, with the LGBTQ thing, say you had a killer LGBTQ joke, if I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
I think the best thing to do would be find someone in the community and give them that joke.
Yeah, but I think also
maybe they could do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right now I found out that's the great joke. I can't do jokes about it because I can't remember the letters.
Right. So you cancel yourself out of the whole.
Yeah, I heard this comic. He called it the LMNOP community, just to be funny. It was really funny. He kept saying it, LMNOP.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's you know, he's
kind
of
hilarious right there.
Yeah. But I think that's where it comes from, you know, like, yeah, you got to be careful. I think it's a study, though, of how are they so together? Like, that's what intrigues me. Like, because you can, like, do an anti-black joke and, you know, some black people will rally against you, some won't. But, like, if you do the wrong joke about that community, it seems like the togetherness, they're just the orchestration of them being like, we don't like this.
Yeah. But I also feel that community now, that even the community, why is these guys in the people
because they're adding more letters.
So like, if you're just like a homosexual man, maybe you're just doing your thing and you're loving another man, that's all there is to it.
Right.
And now you have to be represented by all these people that you don't agree with. I think as a comedian, just keep stabbing at that community, and because if you decide, hey, we don't have any sense of humor,
then it's the job
of a comedian to make fun of.
I agree, but the thing is like, it's like people will, if you joke about it, people go, well, why does it bother you?
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe it doesn't bother me. It
doesn't bother me.
But then
it's some comedy here.
But that's what they'll think, right? So that's why I say you got to give them the jokes and then...
I have a colleague, Vidar Hodnekvam, shout out to Vidar. He called me last week. I was working at Latte. And he had a joke that he wouldn't say. And he called me, so you can say it. And it was a joke about hijabs and Muslims and camel toes. He was like, you can have it. And I said, okay. I still think he could do the joke, but he wasn't comfortable doing it.
Right.
So he gave it to me. I tried it, like we had 3 shows in a night, and it killed every time.
Right.
I was like, thanks.
But do you think it's better for you? It's a better joke for you?
Yeah, both. Maybe it's better for, because he also said you're more like cheeky and it's suitable to your style, not to mine. But it was also maybe the element of joking about Muslims and the Quran. For some reason, I'm not Muslim.
No,
but
might be easier.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so it's interesting that he gave me the joke and I was just, thanks. And it killed every night, every time. And so good for me.
Right.
Sad for him.
Sad for him.
But
I guess that's why Chris Rock called his special selective outrage, I think it's called. Because that is the thing, too. Like, not every two people, like, canceling isn't equal. Like, one person does the same thing as another person, and one person gets canceled, one person doesn't. So,
And so people hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
When you say something, it's not even maybe what you say, they hear something else.
Exactly,
To be mad at the white man for saying a joke about Muslims and be okay with it for me saying it, that's a little racist. Now you're the racist, not me.
You know what's interesting about that is that, like, I feel a shift in comedy, especially all over, but especially in America, where me being black, a black man, it was always like, almost everything was open to me in terms of what I could joke about, you know? And then I started being on stage, and as I'm talking about certain topics, I feel the audience tightening up, you know? And the topics within my realm of, you know what I mean? But I think it felt like, I know it sounds crazy, just comedy-wise, it's like I'm lumped in with straight white men.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, wait, no. I don't have the same restrictions a straight white man has, but it does feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like a gay black man, like, or a woman, gay, anything. You have more, but as a straight black man, it feels like the audience thinks, is he going to say something offensive? Is he going to be a bigot? So I have to be real careful how that shift started happening maybe 5 years ago, when I just felt like...
I have a joke about that, because I grew up on the west side of Oslo, which is like the posh area.
Yes.
And so everyone hates, it's an expression in Norway at least, white men pushing 50. So we all hate them, because everything they say is offensive. But I'm black, so I can say, but now... well, I'm from the West Side.
Right.
I'm
right.
basically a basically. White man pushing 50.
Right, right,
and
right.
So I have a joke about that, that they kind of forget that a lot of brown and black people now in Norway are getting older. And yeah, they're Norwegians yeah. as well.
Right. And, may
and
have,
we say offensive stuff too.
And may have a certain amount of privilege.
Yeah. That, so it's not, yeah. So that's the shift. So I have a couple of, and people tend to, I think they understand when I'd say the joke that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like black people can be, or brown people in Norway can be offensive too.
They, absolutely, yeah. absolutely. So, I mean, I have these dry bar specials, right? And dry bar is a company in Utah.
Okay.
And so Utah has a lot of Mormons. So they have a whole clean comedy network. So I can work clean. So I've done two specials with them. And so I'm finding more people know me from that than from like, my Conan stuff or even this other special that I put out myself that was on Netflix for a little while. So those fans are all coming from the perspective of you work clean.
Yeah.
So I feel like, man, like that if I have a fan base, I'm not super well known, but it's those guys. So now I do feel a little bit of like pressure to work clean. So if I think of a dirty joke, I want to give it to someone else. You know, but think
still you can do it other places, of course.
Oh yeah. Just, like when you come to see me live, I'm like, you know, I'm going to be mainly clean. I won't be filthy, but I'm not going to be like
totally clean.
It's not like a church show. No. You know what I mean?
But you're on Latter this weekend. If people want to see you.
Yes. Yes.
Both today, tomorrow, a couple of shows, I guess.
What's today? Friday. Yeah, two shows today, two shows tomorrow. Nice. That's a nice venue. Nice outside.
Yeah, like it.
With a tent.
You've been there a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't think I've done the outside shows before. I can't remember.
Just inside on the. We've been together a couple of times, I think.
Yes. And we've done maybe a show or two.
It's really cool
as well.
That you can join the podcast as well, because we talked about
tomorrow.
We saw you yesterday, and I thought it's great. We should always have the foreign comedians coming here, but we forget. To book them or to...
Right. It was great seeing you and you came by. Yeah, it was great.
And I hope we can see you in LA as well. That you can,
that would be
if
great.
If we come, you'll show us around a little
definitely
bit.
Definitely let me know. If you give me a heads up notice, you know, maybe...
You gotta be there.
Maybe I could definitely... I could help with sets, no problem, but maybe able to help with accommodations if you give me a heads up notice.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yes, great that you could join us. This is it for this week, Jonah Man. next week, we're going to do the podcast in Sandefjord.
Yeah, Sandefjord podcast.
Folk, dere får ha en fin helg. Og så snakkes
vi. Og prøv å komme og se Dwayne og Paul Meyerhaug på Latter.
I helgen.
Ja.
Fint. Ha det.
Moderne media.